And Abraham's response to this is to give it to him. It just simply says, after you read this blessing, that Abraham gave it to him.
23.
And what struck me about that was he wasn't asked.
He didn't stop blessing people once the Bible was stopped.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just as pray for this morning, God, Lord, I pray you prepare our hearts and our minds for what you have for us this morning. In your name, amen.
Amen. Do you want to sing a song? Are you sure? You want to sing a song? You can. Anyone want to sing a song? You can come up and sing a song. Hey, this is a new day. We're out on the, getting ready to go to the casino in a minute, all of us. Are you all here for this? Or are you here for, you just happen to be, I was wondering why you weren't responsive. It's because you're just in line for the, yeah, I do my joke every week about the casino. That's where you get in line right here. So, hey guys. There's so many things you could say during these times. It's easy in some ways to be a preacher because we all have one thing in common, and that is that we're going through the same thing together. We have a lot of different other things we're going through at the same time, but we are going through a nail biter in some ways, and we do want to fast forward. And today I want to give you just maybe a little bit of encouragement. You're not going to find discouragement at church. We get enough of it all over, everywhere we go. And maybe there'll be a time for hellfire and brimstone, but I think that you can find a way to repent. Even when I talk about kindness, you can find, the Bible says that God's kindness is what led me to repentance. So I want to talk a little bit about God's kindness today. We're in the last message in a series called Surrounded. We're surrounded by God's goodness. And today our first week was outnumbered. The second week was outworshipped. The third week was outgrown. And today the last one is outcome. What is the outcome of all of this that is going on? Hey, my brother, we'll talk after. You want to talk after? That was good. I'm glad. Hey, I set you on purpose here. You said, what is God's kindness to me? Well, let me set you up here. Thanks for the setup. And I like your shirt, and I hope the Nuggets go far. Did they win last night, Riley? Two nights ago? Did they win? Oh, they play today. What's the series? 2-1 against the Nuggets are 2? Did you know that? The Nuggets are in the playoffs right now. We'll figure. All right. What is God's kindness to me? Good question. I want to talk about it today. And would you just pray with me? We're going to talk about outcomes. What is God's kindness? What is the outcome for me? Lord, we thank you for this time together. Lord God, we wonder. We wonder and amazed at you, but we also wonder what the heck is going on around us. Lord, we thank you that you are in control, and some of us might call this a nightmare that we've been living through, but you know what you're up to. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to have eyes to see today. Lord, I pray that you would help us to have ears to hear what you have to share with us. And I pray that we would get a glimpse at who we are all becoming through all of this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to make a confession going along the lines of movies again. I'll go just with that. Have you ever snuck into a movie that you shouldn't? Like, I paid for my ticket, but then I saw another movie I wanted to see, and I was waiting for the other movie to start, so I went in to see. Just get a little look at it to see, would this be one I'd want to see? And almost every time I've done this, it ruins it for me, because then you don't want to see it, because you see, like, the climax, the outcome of the movie is right there in front of you, and you say, forget it, I won't see this. But I think we're going to do a little sneak peek into our movie. We're going to act like we're looking inside and seeing a little bit of how ours, not ends, because that's kind of, I don't want to see how mine ends. I want to see, like, the next chapter, right? Let's see the the sequel, because I want to have a lot of sequels, like part one, part two, part three, part four. I hope I'm in. I won't be able to take questions right now or comments, but after we will, okay? Thank you, my brother. So I hope there's a lot of sequels to mine. I hope I'm just like in the first one right now, you know. But Abraham had a sequel of his movie, and he saw it. He saw a little bit of it. It's found in Genesis chapter 17. See how I brought that all around? Genesis chapter 17. One of the most important chapters in the Bible, if you're talking about how God loves us, the covenant that he has with us. But there was a moment, Abraham was like clueless. Like, what is going on? You've taken me out of my homeland, and you're moving me to somewhere else. Right? Like, what the heck are you doing, God? And this is what it says in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. It says, Abraham was 99 before God kind of started his story with him. That's discouraging. It was a different day. They lived to like they were a million in the Bible. So this is different. It's not like us. So he was probably middle-aged here, all right? He was middle-aged. Yes. That reminds me of somebody else. I feel middle-aged. When 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God, all-powerful. The end. Amen. God bless you. Have a good day. God is all-powerful. That's enough for us to hear. But he says, if you just continue to obey me, listen, you'll continue to obey me. I'll keep my promise to you. And then he goes on and talks about some things he's going to do. 16 verses about what he's going to do, about how he's going to make Abraham's descendants more than the sands on the seashore, right? It gets down to verse 17. It says that Abraham's mouth dropped to the ground. He fell to the ground. It says in the one version, he bowed his face. Another one says he dropped his mouth to the ground. And he says, God, I am almost 100, and you're telling me I'm going to have a lot of babies, right? God told you you were going to have a baby, and it came true, didn't it? After all these years, you're not 100, but, and he said, and then besides that, Sarah is like really old too. How can this happen? And he laughed. Abraham started laughing. He laughed himself right out of that theater, and he said, that's not my life. There's no way that you can do this. But I will encourage you today, my friends, my brothers, my sisters, be encouraged, because when this outcome happens, when this climax concludes, when this sequel premieres, I'm going to venture to say 2021, okay? We're going to just go with 2021 right now. We'll not come and go without leading to at least this, a greater revival inside you. 2021 will not come and go without you experiencing a greater revival inside of you. Because why? God never wastes a screenplay. He never wastes a trial. He never wastes your story. Your story is not going to be that Scott did this and then that was it. He always has something he's working through our trials. I promise you, and I will say it to Noah here, because he'll be the only one that appreciates this, or he'll say it's a little bit cheesy, that your life, Noah, the life of Noah in 2020, is not going to go straight to DVD and be a box office bomb, even though the movies are closed. It's not going to be, because God will always use what he has to use and work in our lives. Let me say it very plainly. You don't get what I'm saying. Jesus loves you too much. Jesus loves you too much to let this season come and go without bringing a redeeming outcome through it. Not a terrible outcome, a redeeming outcome. Everybody say the word outcome. It's kind of a word that we don't ever use. Outcome. Outcome. Scientists would call it a calculation. A politician would call it this is the projection, right? A fatalist would call it the aftermath. This is the aftermath of what happened through this time. I think Jesus would like to call the outcome our fruit, the fruit of our life. What is the fruit that came of your life today through this time? I want to give you a few things that might be glimpses of what God is doing. What is the outcome? Paul started it this way, Philippians 1:6. He wrote a letter to some people. They were going through some tough times. And he said, hey, listen, Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in you, because the work was begun, the work has been begun in you, he'll complete it. He'll complete it. I think it would be the same message to us today. He who began a good work in you, he's going to complete it until the day Jesus Christ comes back, be it sooner or be it later, right? So the first outcome I want to give you, number one. Outcome number one, God is creating new wineskins in you through this time. Right along with 2020, God is creating new wineskins in you. You can read the scripture. We won't get into it, but Jesus had said that there's going to be a day where believers, I'm going to put in you new wine, new wineskins. I think that's happening during this time, because right along with all the things that came through this year, do you know what else is right behind it? Right behind that is the Holy Spirit's refining fire in our lives. Zechariah prophesies refining fire will get in and refine you, will purify you. I believe that God is purifying his church during this time. You'd say, well, I think the church is looking pretty defeated. Well, I would say, here's another perspective. I think God's refining you. He's taking you through. Do you know what it takes to be refined? What does it take to be refined? It starts with an F and it ends with ire. Does anyone know? Fire. It takes fire. We know, none of us would say, oh, I volunteer. I want to go through fire. Let me jump in. No, none of us volunteered. The Church of America never has to deal with persecution. We call this persecution. This is nothing. This is nothing. What California is experiencing, that's nothing. But it is a bit of a fire that we're in, and God is refining us through it. He's refining you. I felt the Holy Spirit stop me and say, you don't have to explain this. Just let it sink in. Just let it sink in. What the Holy Spirit, my presence, is doing in us. Let me tell you my complaints. Let me tell you my worries. Let me tell you my gripes. Let me tell you my criticisms. Let me tell you my story, because my screenplay is, there's no way God can make anything out of it. He's not going to waste it. Because right along with 2020 came the refining fire of the Holy Spirit. Well, I didn't ask him to refine me. I haven't sang one time in the last 7 months, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Flood this place, flood this atmosphere. I never asked. It doesn't matter if you ask, the Holy Spirit's doing it. He's doing it in you, whether you want it or not. And that's an encouraging thing, because God won't leave you as an ugly piece of metal. When you're refined, you turn into silver. You turn into gold, pure gold, refined by the fire. That's what he's doing in you. I know that many of you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fitness buff. You're smiling. I hope you're not laughing. I got this new shirt to show off the fitness in me. No, okay. So there's. I'm not. But I do. We do a lot of walking. And the other day we were walking. It was 2 weeks ago. On our walk, and we decided we weren't going to make it a round trip. We were going to just do a one way trip, and then we would call and get. Like all three of our teenagers, they're not teenagers, he's not a teenager anymore, but all three of our kids Two of them are supposed to be away at college. Since they're home, we could call them. They can be our chauffeur right now. They don't got anything else to do. So we'll just call them. All right, we were in like 4 miles into our walk and realized our phones were out of battery, or my phone. She didn't bring her phone. She's not as responsible as me. I'm very responsible. She didn't even bring it. I'm caring about my kids. I brought my phone so I check on them, right? She does it. No, I'm just kidding. And my phone was out of battery. So I couldn't call them. I couldn't tell them where we were. We have an app on our phone that tells each other where we're at all the time. It's called Life 360. It's great. It's great. Unless I go to the donut store and Cynthia says, why are you at the donut store? And I'm like, oh man. But so this day, my phone was out of battery. They did not know where we were. And so we had to just keep walking. And we walked another good 3 miles, I would say. And we ended up at Colorado Springs Christian School. We thought maybe we can go in and borrow their phone and call. And so they ended up picking us up and I'll just stop there. They picked us up, and then I went home. The next day, my legs were really sore because I'm used to not walking that far, even though I am a bit of a. But I was sore, and I realized something, and this is a fitness technique. It's called muscle confusion, right? If you do the same thing every day with your muscles, They don't grow as much as if you change that. That must be my problem, I guess. All right. So you'll lift weights one way. This is the only way I know. But you lift weights one way, and then your fitness instructor will switch it up so that your muscles are confused, and then it makes them go to another level. Okay. Hear what I'm saying here. I think there's a bit of spiritual muscle confusion going on in our world. Maybe God, as the fitness instructor, didn't start it. He didn't say, I'm going to confuse them. Or maybe he did. I don't know. But you're definitely confused. You don't even know like where church is going to be each week. You don't know. You can't even rely on coming to a building anymore. You can't rely on a lot of the things you used to rely on. Some of you are doing school online. God is confused, or you are being confused, and God is going to use this confusion to bring you to another level in your spirit. Would you agree with me? That's probably true. That's what he's doing. Amen? Amen. Outcome number one, new wineskins. He's like building something new. Quickly, the second one is easy. New, what else is he doing in us? New wine. Certainly new wine. You know the scripture, Joel chapter 2. It is a prophecy to the people of Judah, but it's also very clear that it's a prophecy to those that are in the latter days. I wonder when the latter days are. Well, this is the perfect time to read this, because this is a prophecy to those in the latter days, Joel chapter 2. Before the coming of Jesus, it says, verse 24, the threshing floor shall be full of wheat. I'll explain it. And the vats shall overflow with new wine and new oil. People love to quote this part during this time, but it's a good thing to quote, because it says this: I will restore to you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten. You shall eat plenty and be satisfied. Praise the Lord, who has dealt with you wondrously, and my people shall never be put to shame. And then it says something everyone knows this part, verse 28, and I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Talks about the young kids, the old kids, the ones in the middle, the women, the men, everyone. He's going to pour out his spirit in a greater way in these last days. I believe that God is one of the outcomes of this time will be new wine in your new wine skins. My friend said it this way, and it's kind of deep, but I'm going to quote him on this. He says, this is a time of exile that we are in. Exile has its purpose, like pain, like death. Suffering is part of life, and it's better if we're honest about it. Sweeping it under the rug does more harm. Some of the best songs, best prophecies, best writing, heck, half the New Testament was written in exile. It's a hard place, but it's a fruit sinful one. Where does wine come from? It comes from being crushed. Being crushed, being crushed, being crushed. I don't know if they do it with their feet, but that's what I picture. Crushing the wine, crushing the grapes to make new wine. That's what's happening in us. And then lastly, and I think this is the most important, if you hear nothing else, hear this part, because this is what we all should be convicted with, all right? Including myself. I'm going to give you an impossible commandment. New wine is an outcome, new wineskins, and thirdly, a new attitude. And the attitude I specifically want to look at is an attitude found in the Beatitudes. It's a sermon by Jesus where he talks about all kinds of different, really different attitudes that he's calling us deeper to do. Jesus said this sermon on a mount. They don't know where the mountain specifically is, but it's called the Sermon on the Mount. And he goes categorically through all kinds of radical things that ended up getting him arrested and crucified, because they heard this and the people were not happy, because it was calling us to do things that were too radical that we could handle. And here was the one I want to specifically look at. Matthew chapter 5, it's a quick one. It's a verse, Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, it says this: "You've heard it said already." You know this part, love. Love people, okay? Love your neighbor. Everybody knows that, love your neighbor. Then he goes a little bit deeper, because this is like a time he's calling people to more, and he's calling you to this too. This is what's coming through this time. "But you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." That's what we know. We know that, that's fine. Love your neighbor, hate your enemy. "But I say to you," verse 44, "love your enemies. You should even bless those who actually curse you, who cuss at you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who use you, who persecute you." Oh, I do that. So I got it. I got it down. I pray for people all the time. "Oh, that enemy, Lord, I pray for them. I pray that they change because they're a jerk. They're terrible. I pray." You know, that's not what he's saying. He's not just saying, say your token prayer. He's saying, a new attitude I present to you. And the church hasn't got it through their heads yet. Over 2,000 years of the church, they still haven't got it through their heads, this new attitude. Love those who love you. That's easy, or it's easier. And then also love your enemies too. I want to ask you a question. Where do you see in the church even love your neighbor? Where do you see this in the church? Love your neighbor. Think about your neighbors. We look at neighbors as neighbors literally. It's anyone that you come in contact with. But let me ask you even a deeper question. Where in the church, certainly not outside of the church, but where in the church do you see love your enemy? Do you look at every one of our lives? Do you see anyone really loving their enemy, like loving them so much? I'm going to tell you what he means by love your enemy here. But do you see this anywhere? Enemies translated are those against you, right? Those who oppose you, your opponents. Now, I don't know if it even came to light as much in my whole life as it has over this pandemic, what's going on. I think the devil messes with our heads during this time, but never before have I seen it a more clear cut. Who is my opponent and who is on my side? Never before have I seen this. It doesn't matter what you believe. Doesn't matter what side. Everyone's heads are going a lot of places right now. No matter where you are, you know who your opponent is. We are in a climate where there has never been more obvious enemies. Like, okay, I know this is my my opponent here. This is my enemy. If just read the paper for 1 minute. Look at the internet for 1 minute. Look at social media for 1 minute. Watch the news for 1 minute. Watch a talk show for 1 minute. And it's very clear. We're making sure it's very clear in these days, Americans. I don't know what it is about us that we were such a united country. We're making it very clear. This is who I am, my opponent, and this is who's on my side. I'm not talking, as you are thinking, just politically. I'm talking in every area of our lives. We have our thoughts and who's in front of us, who's with us, and who's not with us. And Jesus here, 2,000 years before, maybe speaking to the church now. He's leveling the playing field. He's giving us a stark contrast of what we've been and what we need to be. One version says it this way when he says, love them. Do something wonderful for those who hate you. He's basically saying, if you love Jesus, if you're forgiven, one of your defining, number one defining characteristics will be one thing. If you don't know anything else, like I'm not sure if you're a Christ follower or not, but I do know that this one thing you do, so you must be. This is the defining characteristic that anyone that appears to be or you perceive to be your opponent, your enemy, you love them, you bless them, you pray for them, you do good to them. When was the last time someone opposed you and you blessed them? You would say, well, I didn't curse them. Well, maybe not out loud. You didn't do it out loud. Maybe not even your own family heard you curse them, but you maybe did it in your heart. God sees your heart. When was the last time someone opposed you and in your heart, not just with your mouth, when people are watching you, well, I'll just bless them. I bless you. You're my enemy, but I bless you. No, but when no one else is watching, you thought, oh man, you just opposed me. You just went against everything I believe in. And I bless you. I love you so much. For who you are, because you're God's child, and I don't, yes, all these things I don't agree with you on, but I bless you. In fact, can I bring you dinner? Can I just give you $1,000 just because there's something about you I love so much? In your heart, you thought that. That doesn't happen. It doesn't. It doesn't happen with any of us. The Message version says it like this, and I'm almost finished. Let your enemy bring out the very, 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 very best in you. Let them bring out the best, not the worst. When you're upset by your enemy, and instead of anger or fear or worry or whatever comes out, what comes out is the best in you. That would be a real Christian, wouldn't it? Wouldn't we all love to be this way? When someone gives you a hard time, the Message version goes on to say, respond with energetic prayer. Oh, I pray for you energetically. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal for that? Any run-of-the-mill sinner would say hello to someone who greets them. In a word, verse 48, what I'm saying is grow up. Your kingdom subjects, now live like it. Live out your God-created identity by being generous, gracious. That is the way God lives towards us. My brother, would you come up and play? We're going to close out today. Ask yourself in this time, could Jesus be up to something in his church? I mean, I can't speak for the whole world in the whole world outside of God's church, but I can speak for the church. We're all part of it. Could he be doing something in us during this time? I believe he never wastes an opportunity. And you can say plenty of things that you would say that might happen bad in the church during this time. But I believe that you're not going to, if you go in and take a sneak peek of what the church is going to look like or what you're going to look like in a year or 2 years, you're not going to see Armageddon yet. That's not going to be the movie on the screen. What's going to be on the screen for a while so that a harvest can take place? Don't quote me on it. Jesus could come back tomorrow. But I think what we'll see on the screen is people, is the church loving their enemies. In fact, the church being those that are characterized, I don't understand it, how they do this. They don't even know it's the church. They won't even know, but they'll say, that person like loves me so much, and I'm so against everything that they are about, but they love me. I don't know what it is about them. I think we're going to see church people with lots of splinters being refined. Jesus the carpenter is going to smooth the edges, pull out some splinters and refine us. I think we're going to see church people who are full of fruit. We're going to see a lot of fruit. Not calculations, not projections, not aftermath from this. We're going to see a lot of fruit come out of this time. Would you stand with me? We're going to close today. I know you've heard a lot today, and you probably only took in a couple of things. And so I would say to you, what is the Holy Spirit speaking to you personally? What is the one thing that you are taking from this time together today? What is the Holy Spirit saying, I need this in my life. I need to do this better. I need to be open to new wine. I need to be open to be stretched with new wineskins. I need new attitudes. I would hope that's all of us, because unless you have this figured out, if you do, please explain it to us, how we love those who love us, but also love our enemies. Would you say this with me? And you can say it quietly, or you can say it out loud. Lord Jesus, I submit to your process of refining. Some of you were like, I'm not going to submit to it. Regardless of whether you submit or not, there's refining going on. Submit to it. Surrender. Okay? Surrender. Say, I submit to your process of refining. I respond to your call for repentance. I turn from my evil ways. We can always say that, can't we? 2 Chronicles 7:14. We turn from our wicked ways. Would you say this with me? I give up my addictions and my hang-ups. Well, I don't have any addictions and hang-ups. You probably do. You just don't realize that God's refining them in you right now. And then the last thing. Let me not stand. Say this. Let me not stand in your way or try to skip ahead as you prepare me, your church, for what you're going to do next. The Bible says the church is going to be without spot or wrinkle. I think we need a lot of laundering, don't we? Without spot or wrinkle. This is the kind of church Jesus dreams of us being. This is the outcome God is working in us. One that has new wine, new wineskins, new attitudes. Would you just take a moment right now? Look around you. I'm going to lead you through an awkward moment. Okay, yes. Look around you, all the people. Some of you are afraid to hug people, shake their hands. Some of you aren't. Some of you are just being smart. And I understand that. But you do love everyone around you, right? I want you to look at them all. Look at them all, wave, hello. All these people that are here around you are in the same boat with you. We all want God to change us. We all want God to refine us. Would you make sure to smile, at least hug, give them a fist bump or an elbow bump or a knee bump or something. Talk to people, hang out as long as you like. We're glad you're here today. I don't think I have anything to announce. I don't know what tomorrow looks like. Stay connected on email. We have a text thing going on now. Stay connected there. There's lots of snacks. There's the offering bucket there. If you brought offering today, put it in there. God bless you. Let me pray over us. Does anyone have it on their heart to lead this prayer? You're like, no, not me. Anyone? Noah's got his chairs already put up. Anyone want to pray, lead this? Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. Refine us, change us, grow us, build us. Lord, I pray a blessing over each person. But as we go longer between blessings, let us not forget who you are in our life and that you are working in us. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Jaden, say amen. Amen.